Good morning and welcome to Score Values on 670 The Score. I'm your host, Alex Kuhn. Today I will tell you about an organization that believes in housing as a right in a just society and is battling homelessness in our communities through public policy, advocacy, as well as direct assistance. Also, a new service providing direct in-home assistance to mothers and families, providing a free in-home nurse to visit families that live in Chicago who deliver babies at participating hospitals, including foster parents, adoptive parents, and families who already have other children, has just partnered with University of Chicago Medicine. We now welcome Michael Nemesh, the Director of Development at the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless. Michael, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing great, and I'm very happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're delighted to have you this morning. Well, let's just start here. Can you tell us a little bit about your organization, the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless?
Absolutely. So the thing about us is a lot of people kind of just assume that what we do is operate homeless shelters. And that is, in fact, one of the few things that we don't do. We are a public policy, advocacy, community organizing, legal advocacy team. So, I like to say, every issue out there has a lobbyist. We are like, the lobbyist for the issue of homelessness.
Yeah, that's one thing that I notice when you go to your website and you talk about housing is a right in a just society, and you mentioned some of the policies that you fight for. What are some of the pillars of what you guys do to try to fight for housing as a right?
Great question. So I'd say one shining example that's very important right now is our latest housing campaign, which we are calling Bring Chicago Home. And there's a lot of layers to it, but the exciting thing is that soon Chicago voters will have an opportunity to weigh in on whether or not they believe we need more affordable housing in Chicago. And so I urge people to look at our website dedicated to this campaign alone, which is bringchicagohome.org. The ways we look at it are, there needs to be more affordable housing with wraparound services. There needs to be greater access to quality education. And same with healthcare, wages, and job training and things like that. All of these things, those are the pillars of what, keep people experiencing homelessness from getting out of it. And so we look at all of those things.
Michael, let's get into what you mentioned, Bring Chicago Home. Can you tell us about this initiative and the ballot measure that will be voted on in March?
Yeah, so we're very excited. It's been 5 years of pushing for this, but it just was put on the ballot. And what it is going to allow Chicago voters to do is make the choice to have a dedicated revenue stream that will allow the city of Chicago to spend approximately 10 times what they're spending right now on the issue of homelessness. That's why, we want people to check out that website, Bring Chicago Home. It's, like most policies, there's, you can get into the fine print, but the fact of the matter is that there's just not enough affordable housing for a city our size, and this would start to address that and make some real gains in that area.
When you talk about the numbers and the people that are affected by homelessness in the city, what are we looking at?
So that's, hold on to your hats, sit down if you're not already sitting. There's over 68,000 people experienced homelessness in the year that we have the most recent data, which is 2021, and that was an increase. So I think about like almost 5%. So the problem was growing, and now as you, we'll probably get into this a little bit, but the migrant crisis has underlined that we weren't prepared for the numbers of people experiencing homelessness before, and any influx just makes it worse. So, if I had come on this program and said 10% of that, that would have been a crisis. If I had said there were, 6,000 people that experience homelessness every year, you'd be shocked at that number. But it is, in fact, over 68,000 people.
Yeah, that is a staggering number. And if I heard you correctly, your point kind of is the influx of migrants and asylum seekers doesn't really change the crisis of homelessness. It just sort of underscores and highlights it. Is that correct?
Right. Right. Here at the Score, you are underscoring the problem here. That's my little pun. But, you know, our work hasn't changed. We're going to continue to push for more affordable housing, you know, more, you know, services, a greater dedication of resources. That's what we were doing before, and that's what we're continuing to do.
Michael Nemesh, the Director of Development for the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, joining us this morning on Score Values. Now, you mentioned Bring Chicago Home. Can you discuss some of the other community outreach programs or initiatives that you guys fight for at the Coalition?
Absolutely. So, you know, I like to say that supporting the Chicago Coalition for the Homeless is like supporting three agencies in one, because we recognize this is a complex problem and you need a lot of things in your toolkit to address it. So we don't just have one department working on this in one way. We have a public policy department. We have a community organizing department, and we have a law project. So we have lawyers, we have people out there trying to build activism in the community and gain support for our initiatives. And then we have people that are really, you know, crunching the numbers and looking at ways, innovative ways, to provide solutions to the complexities of the problem. And so, to give you some examples, our law project, you know, they provide direct legal expertise and assistance to people experiencing homelessness, and they have a special focus on youth. We have a mobile clinic called Youth Futures. We're in schools. We're working with CPS. We're trying to make sure that the educational rights of homeless children are not neglected. But they do all kinds of things. You know, it might be just as simple as helping someone who is homeless obtain important legal papers like their birth certificate or an ID. Those things can sometimes be barriers to getting assistance or employment. And sometimes you just need a lawyer to kind of help you navigate those problems. But they can also, they connect people to housing. They connect people to, you know, getting any kind of number of types of assistance. So, and then, you know, sometimes we help enact laws. You know, that's the other place where people experiencing homelessness, the laws affecting them, you may never be aware of them, but I can give you some recent examples.
Yes, please.
They recently passed a statewide measure. It's called HB 3116. And what that did is it made sure that all school staff are trained to identify and support students that are unstably housed. So just make, you know, students who are experiencing homelessness, make their school experience a little bit better by giving the teachers and support staff at the school the tools that will allow them to better help them navigate through this. You know, it's a subtle thing, but, you know, you can understand why it's amazing that training had not existed before. That's the power of advocacy. You don't know that it's going on, but now that experience at school is going to be a little bit better. Another one is SB 1367, and that improves access for public housing for people with criminal records. It was kind of like a catch-22, because it was an unspoken rule that people with criminal backgrounds felt like they weren't allowed to apply for public housing because they would be rejected. But now there are standards for the background screening process. So it's at least that clarity, you know, allows people who are, you know, back into society and looking to, you know, be stably housed, they at least have, you know, some protocol and an understanding of the screening process, so they're not immediately discouraged to not apply. So those are examples of recent bills that we were able to put through, you know, that the general public might not know about, but, you know, it's very important to, you know, support people while they're trying to pull themselves out of homelessness.
Yeah, Michael, it seems like with some of these examples that you're bringing up, you guys are trying to address the root causes and inequalities that kind of lead to homelessness. Am I off base here?
No, you're not off base at all. But we also do some direct service as well. I want to lift up one of the things that we started at the beginning of the pandemic is we created a mutual aid fund that gave quick cash grants to people who needed some support, and it could be used for a variety of things. We've already given out over $500,000 to households. The maximum amount of the grant is $500, so that we could reach as many households as we could. But it's a very fast application process. It takes about 10 minutes. You can do it over the phone. You can do it online. There's no real barriers to, you know, accessing those funds. The only barrier is that we run out of the money very quickly, and then we have to shut it down and then open it back up again. But that's an example of one of the direct service things we do. We also do offer college scholarships to students who experienced homelessness at some point during their high school career. So, you know, we're kind of a blend of just, you know, going to finding solutions that, you know, will allow permanent solutions to homelessness, but also recognizing that people need help right now.
Michael Nemesh, the Director of Development for Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, joining me this morning on Score Values. And Michael, what type of impact did the pandemic have on the homeless community?
Well, I think like everything else, it just kind of, it illustrated how quickly people could find themselves staring homelessness in the face.
Right.
Because, you know, we got that whole wake-up call that how many people are just a couple of paychecks away when all of a sudden paychecks weren't coming in. So again, you know, our advocacy work to create, you know, a higher living wage, our advocacy to, you know, create more affordable housing, things like that, we just recognize that the need has always been there, and it was probably greater than people really realized. I guess I could mention that, you know, when we brought up that number of 68,000, you know, that's not 68,000 people sleeping on the streets every night. That's 68,000 people who are sometimes doubled up or tripled up, you know, couch surfing. You know, they're unstably housed. They're moving from place to place. They're, you know, experiencing, you know, they might have a roof over their head on a given night due to the generosity of friends and family, but they're still, you know, experiencing homelessness. So the pandemic, you know, just kind of made it clear that, you know, more and more people were forced to take these measures. And, you know, I think it created a greater sense of empathy and urgency around this issue.
Absolutely, Michael. What are some of the ways that people can get involved?
They can support us. They can support us financially and by going to ChicagoHomeless.org. They can then sign up to get action alerts, which will allow them to contact their representatives. That's how these things get passed, is, you know, representatives recognize that this is what their constituents want. They can check out Bring Chicago Home if they're a Chicago resident. That is a really important thing, because we want people to be informed about this affordable housing campaign. It's the most ambitious one we've ever attempted, and we'll really, you know, make some real ground, gain some real ground here on this issue. But yeah, and I just think, you know, if they want more information, you know, I think education is key. Lots of times when people see someone on the street who is clearly experiencing homelessness, they're left with a lot of questions. You can find a lot of answers on our website about, you know, the complexities of the issue, but also just the simplicity of what's needed.
Yeah, Michael, something that you brought up there, for those that are not super involved in the political process or politics in general, they may wonder, how would my phone call or email to a representative help? Can you explain to people how, if representatives hear enough phone calls about a singular topic, it does get their attention?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and there's lots of simple ways. It could take just a couple of minutes out of your day. But, you know, when a bill is being considered, there's opportunities. They record like who's called in and said that they were in favor, who said they were not in favor of this. I mean, sometimes we're not actually proposing, a bill that we want passed. Sometimes we're trying to block a bill that, while its intention might be good, we have recognized the harm it might cause, whether intentionally or unintentionally. Most often, when there's harm being caused, it's because someone hasn't thought through a particular aspect of it, and we're just trying to kind of make sure that it doesn't come to pass before, you know, we've had a chance to work out the kinks of it. But yeah, there's ways you can do it online where you put in a slip in a support bill, a support for a measure right before it goes to be discussed, or you could, make a call and your elected representatives would then, make note of that. And that does sway them to say, well, I'm going to at least take a sound, serious look at this. They have a lot of things that they on their plate that they have to consider. This just says, hey, you should be paying attention to this. This is important to the people in your ward or your district or wherever.
Michael, one more before we let you go. You mentioned some of the college scholarships that you award to people and kids who at one point in their life were experiencing homelessness. To date, 35 scholarship students have graduated with bachelor's degrees coming from the program. How fulfilling is that for a kid just to think about a child who is experiencing that type of insecurity with housing all these years later to get a scholarship to go to college?
I mean, I've had the pleasure of getting to know some of the scholarship recipients because they have then gone on to remain involved with our work and then join the scholarship selection committee. They sit on the other side of the table. There's a couple of them that I know that have gone on to, become lawyers. It's very gratifying to me that, the type of law that they are going to practice is directly related to the experiences that they had when they were much younger. They want to stand up and be a champion for other people that are going through some hardship and use the tools of that they learned in school and, the law to kind of help people with, immigration issues or, connect them to any kind of assistance they might need and stand up for people, like that's when you've experienced homelessness, hopefully, when you come out the other side and you are stably housed, you never forget that. And you will always be around to, kind of advocate for more resources like we do and more affordable housing.
Michael Nemesh, the Director of Development for Chicago Coalition for the Homeless. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. And Michael, one more time, your website and the website for Bring Chicago Home.
Absolutely. So if you just want to learn more about the issue and you want to support us, either financially or through your activism, go to chicagohomeless.org. And please, our biggest housing campaign in our 43-year history is bringchicagohome.org.
Michael Nemesh, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Family Connects is an initiative that provides a free in-home nurse visit to families that live in Chicago who deliver babies at participating hospitals. There were 6 area participating hospitals until a 7th was added, and it's University of Chicago Medicine. We now welcome Janae Rhodes, the nurse supervisor at the University of Chicago Medicine's Family Connects. Janae, good morning. Welcome to Score Values. And let's start here. Tell us a little bit about the University of Chicago Medicine's new partnership with Family Connects.
Okay. So Family Connects launched in 2022, where CDPH came to UChicago saying, hey, let's pilot this service to do in-home nurse visits for patients who have delivered at your hospital. And so they piloted it for a year, and, you know, they had some success, but they found that they might have greater success with having the hospital's own hired nurse staff do the actual visits. And so in about April of 2021, UChicago launched their own partnership with CDPH, and they started their own nurse service line. And so here we are providing free in-home nurse visits to all birthing families at UChicago Medicine and participating hospitals that live in the city of Chicago.
Yeah, Janae, as you mentioned, this program, Family Connects, has been around for a long time prior to the partnership with University of Chicago Medicine. What type of benefits are we seeing with families who participate in Family Connects?
Oh, this is an amazing service line because, one, we get to assess infant and birthing parents in their home environment at their pace. We get to support, meaning with breastfeeding, health-wise, we often have a heavy population who has preeclampsia, so we get to do a lot of assessing and teaching according to that. We've had babies who have had disease processes that we have caught in the homes that warrant them to have to go to the emergency room, and they have caught some, you know, dangerous things that could have gotten worse. So this also helps with continuity of care with the providers. Some patients don't even have doctor's appointments to be seen for follow-up visits. This also, we also align patients with community resources, support groups, mental health services, domestic violence services, speech therapy for even not just the newborns, but if they have children in the home. We provide support for everyone in the home, education support, job support. So we have the nursing aspect with the community health aspect, and that's what makes this service line so powerful.
Janae Rhodes, the nurse supervisor at the University of Chicago Medicine's Family Connects, joining me this morning on Score Values. And Janae, I know you kind of touched on it. I would ask you who is eligible to join this program, but you say everybody, correct?
Everybody. The only qualification is that you have to deliver at UChicago Medicine or a participating hospital, and you have to deliver within one of the participating hospitals. Those are the only two requirements. And it is a free in-home nurse visit.
And what are the other participating hospitals?
We have UChicago Medicine, Humboldt Park Health, Mount Sinai, Rush University Medical Center, Roseland Community Hospital, St. Anthony Hospital, Swedish Hospital, and we recently added Cook County Hospital.
Janae, why is now such a good time for University of Chicago Medicine to join forces with Family Connects?
This service is long overdue. This will decrease sudden infant death. This will decrease hospital readmission rate for postpartum moms who suffer from who will probably preeclampsic and went into full-blown eclampsia. This will help parents to cope with having a newborn, because we know this is not always an easy breezy adjustment. So this service is long overdue, and I hope that it is a long sustaining part of continuity of care every birthing parent deserves this service and support after having a child.
Janae Rhodes, the nurse supervisor at the University of Chicago Medicine's Family Connects, joining me this morning on Score Values. And Janae, something I noticed on your website is you talk about a lot of the people that you will be serving through Family Connects and mention that a lot of these families are from the south side of Chicago. How much pride do you guys at Family Connects take in serving communities on the south side?
I just want to say the organization as a whole is peacock proud. Like, everyone from the providers to the nursing staff to all ancillary staff are ecstatic about this service. They know the importance of the work that the participating hospitals as well as CDPH are doing in the field. We have had all the support from the providers. We've recently collaborated with our STAMP hypertension program to help moms with preeclampsia and prolonged residuals from preeclampsia. So it's just an amazing service, and everyone, the whole organization from the top to ancillary staff are ecstatic about this, and we will continue to work hard to make sure that everyone can get this service.
Janae, how does somebody get selected, or how does somebody sign up to be a part of this service?
So we approach every delivered patient asking if they would like a home visit, but we just ask everyone to encourage people to utilize this service, because whether you have a doctorate degree to a high school education, whatever it is, it's something that you can always learn. You can also go to oneshy.org and www.oneshy.org, and you can find the participating hospitals. But our staff approaches every person who delivers within the organization for a visit.
Janae, great stuff. Thank you so much for joining me this morning. Really enjoyed the chat.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That's going to do it for another edition of Score Values. I want to thank my guests this morning, Michael Nemesh, the Director of Development for Chicago Coalition for the Homeless, and Janae Rhodes, the Nurse Supervisor at the University of Chicago Medicine's Family Connects. Thank you both for joining me this morning. If there's a topic you'd like to hear about on a future edition of our show, or if you'd like to share information about an upcoming charitable event, simply send us an email at scorevalues670@gmail.com. That's scorevalues670@gmail.com. I'm Alex Kuhn. Thank you so much for listening to this week's edition of Score Values on 670 The Score.